You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
All right. Hello, hello, listeners of CITR 101.9 FM. This is Randy, and you're listening to Dog-Eared Radio Book Club. It is a fine Tuesday evening. It's lovely that it's not pitch black at 4 p.m. anymore. I'm really living for that. However, reading break has come and gone, so I am not happy about that. Dog-Eared Radio Book Club is a biweekly book club that comes to you through the airwaves of CITR 101.9 FM. It's biweekly on Tuesdays, and you can always reach me with book suggestions, any thoughts that you have on our reads. You can email me at dogearedbookclubradio@gmail.com, or you can find me on Instagram at Dog-Eared Radio Book Club. All right, I'm going to introduce my guest first before we get into the book. So my guest today is the one and only Brianna.
Hello, I am back again.
You're back again.
Yeah, I apparently can't get off because my boyfriend asked me today, like, why can't you just talk about normal books for once? Like, can you not just get on a normal podcast and talk about normal books? And I just had to be like, no, I'm sorry.
That's kind of mean. I feel like that's not very understanding for a partner. Also, what's the fun? Like, are you kidding me? Who wants to listen to us talking about The Secret? Like, what? No, no one wants that. No one wants to hear, like, normal books are boring. Normal people are boring.
It's all about the hidden Kindle library.
Yes, yeah. Mine is, I was home for reading break. I went home to visit my dad. And so I'm very excited about my book journal this year, right? So I'm trying to show everybody. And normally when I show people, I'm like, whatever. But then I went to show it to my dad and I was like, wait, that's going to be weird. Because the thing about, I have little book covers printed out. And so I'm like, I don't hide my Kindle library, but like I do hide it from like my dad. Like I really don't want to have to like explain what a book, you know, about like carnal with a book with the word carnal in the title. I don't want to have to explain that to my poor little father. So yeah, I totally forgot about that. And then I like handed, and then he's like flipping and he starts flipping slower. And I'm like, okay, that's enough. I think you understand. I was trying. So I have like per two pages, there's four books. So I was trying to find like a spread that like was the least like the least worrisome, and I couldn't find it because my reading style is like, okay, historical romance, but then I like, you know, I find like on TikTok I'll find like a good monster romance, so then I go in that, and then there's like erotica thrown in there, and then it's too much of a mixture. Like there's no, I don't go through long enough periods of like innocent reading.
There's no safe spaces in the book.
Yeah, there's no safe spaces in my book journal. That's like when people tell me, they're like, you should start a story graph. And I was like, definitely not. Like, my reviews in my book journal are for me and me alone. Like, that's it. Like, they're not for other people.
We had this conversation last time, though, because I tried to start a Goodreads, like, review over the break and thought that I was going to get so far with it. And then, like, because I read a Jane Austen book and was like, this is very interesting. And then I was like rereading Brutal Vows, and I was like, I don't know how to explain to people reading my Goodreads suggestions that like these are not the same scales. Like, yeah. Jane Austen was a 3-star, but apparently Brutal Vows was like way up there for me. So
hey, I believe that.
Got a degree in English. I know literature. It's just that they're two vastly different scales, and I can't explain the vibe to people.
Yeah, I saw this TikTok today, and this woman was saying, well, it was a stitch. So the first video, she's like, I don't understand how all of you are coming out there and you're like, this is a 4-star read, a 5-star read. Like, you know, I just don't believe that. And this woman stitched it and was like, okay, but I only read books that I like. Like, why wouldn't they all be 4 and 5 stars? And like, that's my thing. Like, it takes me a lot to quit reading a book. So like most of my books, like I only really rank them like 3 to 5 stars. The only one I've like changed, I read one-star book this year, and it's because like, by the time I finished reading, I was like, wait, that was way too messed up. And then I, like, thought about it, and I was like, yeah.
Yeah. See, that's like even mine too. Is that like if I'm just reading it for entertainment too, it's getting a 5-star because if I'm not critically thinking, then of course it's going to be a 5-star. Like it's like watching a Hallmark movie. Like no, it's not good, but it was entertainment for my brain and it made my happy neurons fire. So
yeah. Your happy neurons. Yeah, and I that's so true because and I think that's my thing. Like I'm going to more critically analyze a Jane Austen novel because she's supposed to be one of the all-time great writers. So you're getting it, whereas I have no idea who J.T. Giesinger, I don't know who this person is at all.
Nope.
Most of these authors don't even have real profile pictures. They'll have like a cartoon version of them or like a random like fancy graphic design of their name. I don't know what these people look like.
No. And they put out like 50 books a year. So I know they're not critically thinking about it either. Like Jane Austen, who spent 30 years writing one book. You know what? She put in some effort. J.T. Giesinger, who's put out like 8 books in the last 3 months. It's probably not even them writing it at this point. Like,
Yeah. We don't know who this is. It could be ChatGPT. Like we don't know. Okay. Actually, idea. I want someone to now get ChatGPT to write like a mob romance novel. Wow, we should do, oh my gosh, Kate, idea. We should do that for the show and then live read it. Show. That would have to be an after hours special episode.
Dude, that's going to be the yearly send off, is going to be ChatGPT's dark romance.
I actually, the more I think about that, the more I love that. I want to do that.
I feel like it would actually come up with a pretty good book, too. Yeah. Like, it might actually put some plot into it for once.
Yeah, we might get a lot of action. I don't know. Anyways, the book that we are talking about, if you didn't, you know, guess it from our conversation, is Brutal Vows by J.T. Giesinger. I don't know how to pronounce their name. But you might recognize the author's name because we previously read another one of their books called Pen Pal. That was our special episode for 24 Hours of Student Power. So that was back in December, I think, first week of December. A trip of a book, fantastic read, recommend, 10 out of 10, all of the stars. Keeps you on your toes. And I also feel like this book keeps you on your toes a little bit. Even when I was like rereading it, because I didn't read it, I think I read it last summer. And when I was rereading it like a week ago or whatever, I was like forgetting plot points and then I was like, wait, what is happening? Like, why is? Because I think when I was like in my head, I just remembered the plot points that were like the most important. But, you know, JT doesn't just do main plot.
There's at least 8.
Yeah.
All intersecting. They also have a multiverse going on where like I became interested in this. I wanted to like expand my knowledge as to who these people were.
We need to meet Declan. The one that I want to read is the Russian... But would it Bulva?
Yeah.
Bulva?
I don't know what it was. It was the Russian mob.
Yeah, so the Russian mob who kidnaps the sister of the wife of the head of the Irish mob, right?
Yeah. But I think the sister was also kidnapped.
Yeah, but the sister was kidnapped by her now husband.
Yes, and so they just thought it worked for some people. It's going to work again. Stockholm Syndrome is highly recommended.
Yeah. Also, this reminds me, I forgot. So content warnings for this episode. This book deals with a lot of serious subjects. We're not going to get into them like super seriously on this show, but it does deal with history of domestic violence, abuse, physical and verbal. It deals with a lot of family trauma and death, and forced marriage, I would say.
Yeah.
So, just be warned. Those are themes we're going to be talking about. Like I said, we won't get into them super deep. But, as we're talking about books with kidnapping plot lines. I want to read that one and then... I don't know. I mean, I'd probably read them all. I don't know why I haven't actually. I feel like my process is like with JT, I've read like a fair amount of their books, but I feel like I don't read them in order. I just both of these came from 2 separate TikTok recommendations. Like I saw a video and they were like, I don't even know what part. I wish I would have saved the video, but it was like some part of Brutal Vows. And I was like, this looks dramatic. And then I went and read it.
I'm so curious as to what the part was now, because I'm trying to think of like a point in the book that would make me read it on TikTok.
The marriage, the wedding.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for weddings, even at, like, bad weddings, good weddings, all weddings and books I find immensely entertaining. But I want to acknowledge right off the bat, because if anyone actually read this book and then you looked at the theme of this season, you'll be like, huh, that doesn't really make sense. I know that. But in my defense, it is really hard to find well-written accidental marriage books. Which I didn't think about because I don't care if things are well written normally, but I'm trying hard for anyone listening to this show to not just read terrible literature on the show. I actually want to, you know, make you think that I'm like trying hard. And when I went back in my notes, there was like, I had a note in my review for this book initially that said, I love the surprise wedding. So I was like, oh, surprise, accidental. But I actually meant surprise because he ends up marrying someone different than planned. Like, so that's the surprise. So it's like sort of like accidental surprise.
It surprises you as a reader.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Because, you know, we get to the point where we're like, what's going on? He's about to marry this 18-year-old child, which we'll get back to later on.
I was very happily surprised yeah. that he ended up marrying somebody else.
I was, like, ecstatic. Through the roof. I was so happy. Yeah. No kidding. Okay. So, oh, wow. Yeah. Also, please be forewarned, this episode will be a mess. I am so hungry, and I don't know what it is. I think it's, again, the end of reading break, because I didn't have class yesterday, so my reading break, I got home yesterday, so today's, like, my first day back, and it was not...
I had class yesterday, and I'm still not functioning.
It was not going well. But anyways, let's go to our opening segment of the show a little bit later. Okay, so we're going to break down the... I said breaking down the book. That's what I have written down. I don't know why. Anyways, I'm going to read the description of the book, and we're going to talk about if it's accurate or not, which is going to be so interesting, because fun fact, I did not read this before. I just copy and pasted it because
I don't read it either. You just recommend the book to me, and I just pick it up, so.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Here we go. An Irish mobster with a brutal grudge, an Italian mafia princess with a dark secret, two enemy empires joined in sacred marriage vows, let the hating games begin. Reina. If this arrogant Irish mobster my brother sold my niece to thinks I'm going to play nice over this arranged marriage BS, he should think again. I don't care if this match with the mob will make my... brother Capo of the five families. I don't care how much money, territory, or power it will gain us. I especially don't care that the Irishman is the sexiest man I've ever seen. I won't allow my innocent niece to suffer the same way I did, even if I have to kill him. Ooh. Spider. I need to work on my voice acting skills. This is so bad. I'm reading this, like, I'm smiling too much to take this seriously, and I think it's supposed to be read seriously. Okay. I'm supposed to marry sweet, beautiful Lily, so why can't I stop thinking about her swamp witch of an aunt?
I love that term's used continuously through the book.
It's amazing. Reina, who hates me. Reina, who challenges me. Reina with the guts of a Viking, the body of a fertility goddess, and the attitude of a feral cat. Nothing good can come of what I'm feeling for a woman who's not the one in the wedding contract I signed. A woman I want so much, I'll have to burn the whole world down to get if she doesn't kill me first. All right. So is that description accurate?
It's a description. I enjoy that they stayed true to the book in some ways and used their loving, endearing terms, although I don't necessarily understand the initial part of it because I feel like they've vastly over-exaggerated, like, what these grudges and dark secrets are because I'm trying to think of what they are, and I can think of some, like, rough things, but they, like, weren't that deep of a grudge or that dark of a secret.
Yeah, I don't know what... So is his grudge against the mafia? But the guy who killed his family was not in the mafia.
No, I'm not entirely certain. Like the grudge doesn't really have anything to do with any of the characters in the book for, like, 99% of it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the last two chapters he comes in, but, like, for the most part, there's no grudge. He just is, like, a sad orphan for a long time.
Very, very sad. I think it's actually funnier though when I don't read them, because then I don't know what to expect. But all I want to say is I want someone to say that I have the guts of a Viking, the body of a fertility goddess, and the attitude of a feral cat. Like, if I could be known for one thing in my life, it would be those three things.
That you're also a swamp witch.
And also a swamp witch. Like, this is an amazing way to be described. And like, that's how I think I know that Spider loves Reyna. I've also already forgot his real name.
I think they call him something. Like,
yeah.
I can't, what is his name? His name is, he has like three different, isn't his first name Homer? They mentioned that at one point, that his first name, I think, is Homer. I just reread that part because yes. I was going over the wedding and they were like, then will she Homer like... and Reyna get married? And I was like, Homer? You picked Homer for the hot Irish mobster?
And then she's like, what? Like, how is that your name?
Oh, my gosh. They call him something. He goes by his last name. I can't remember it.
Anyways, we'll find it. We have Kindle right here, open and available. Let's see.
He does have a name.
Just, sorry, listen to us. Just awkwardly try to find his name.
Stop calling him Spider.
Yeah. Anyways, that's what we're supposed to call him. That's what his chapters are named, but I swear she calls him something different.
Quinn.
There you go. Homer Quinn.
Also goes by Spider.
Because he's allergic to anti-venom. Nice little plot point there that they threw in there. Yeah. Anyways, okay, so we've covered this. I don't even know to where to begin with this novel. And I think that speaks for itself of how amazing it is. When I was like writing my notes, I was like, I don't even know what category this goes in, but I just need to talk about this. But obviously we'll start with initial thoughts and reactions, which I think we already gave, but, it was entertaining. Like, I have nothing, I don't like, it was good. I've read it twice now and like actually read it. Like, I didn't just skim it the second time. I like fully read it. And I was like, what are you doing? And like, not even that, I read it in one day. That's commitment. I will say it's mostly because I wanted to skip to the wedding, because that beginning part makes me feel really icky, real icky. So I just wanted to skip past that and get to the good stuff.
I even like that they acknowledge how icky it is in the book multiple times, where he's like, I'm dreading the fact that I'm doing this and I hate myself. And I'm like, just call it off then. Like, say no. Say I'd rather marry someone else who's, like, more of age and, like, someone who has a prefrontal cortex that's fully developed. Yeah. Like, I don't know. You can say no. You're a mobster.
It's so weird because... like, it goes back and forth. He's like, I have to do this. And so I think, so this is what I think the author, and I did, that was my other note, that like the author did convince me to not mind him by the end of it, which I was surprised by, even the second time, which I don't know why. Because obviously if I read it and I liked it, then why did I think I hated him the whole time? But I still hate him for the first like 30% of the book. But what I think we're supposed to like feel for him is that, okay, because of his tragic backstory of this guy literally killing every single person in his family, which like, way to go to the extreme, JT. Like, you could have gave us, I don't know, the mom, the dad, maybe them. Like, no, every single person he's ever.
Grandparents, cousins. Like, and also it begs the question of like, how far do you go? Like, are you going to like seventh removed cousin? Like,
yeah, I was like, what is this backstory? I was like reading it and my reaction, this is terrible. This is terrible. And I will say this. My reaction was, ha ha, this is way too extreme. Like, that was I was like, this is so, because he's just like telling it to Reyna, like, obviously I can't read it on air, but like, he's describing in very morbid detail of how this goes down and you're just reading it like, what is,
like, sorry, I would never recover from that. My brain would be so shattered.
Are you kidding?
I wouldn't be a functioning mobster. I would be drooling in bed constantly because my brain would never heal from the trauma. Like,
we're supposed to just believe the fact that he just like recovered and now he's like second in command for the Irish mob in the USA and he's just like living his life, you know, No, dude, you don't get out of bed. Like, what are you?
What are you talking about? He goes to therapy, and she's like, "How? Like, you can't talk about anything that happened to you." Yeah. He's like, "Yeah, it didn't help." And I'm like, "No wonder. Like, the worst things have happened to you."
Yeah. No, that's just like so. Also, sorry, I just thought of this, but maybe moms and mafias do have like paid off therapists though.
I would hope so, for the sake of all the mobsters.
For their sake of their mental health.
They're already violently inclined. Put some, like, securities in place to stop them from completely going off the rails.
Yeah. Anyways, so I think we're supposed to, I don't even know where it was. So yeah, with his tragic backstory, we're supposed to believe that he's, like, marrying someone to protect himself from falling in love again.
Yeah.
But that doesn't. But why then? Like, because they never, like, I guess to me, like, it would have been more compelling if, like Declan, the first in command of the Irish mob, was, like, forcing him to get married because of the contract of the relationship. But, like, it, like, they, I don't think the author expanded enough on, like, what the contract was and, like, what he was getting out of it, of why he would, like, go through with this when he clearly knew it was wrong. And he clearly, like, it was so obvious that Lily was literally horrified. She's a child. Like, there is, we never actually see her happy in the entire book. Like, she is absolutely just, like, basically, I don't, like, just let,
she's sad.
Like, she's done with everything. And he's over here like, I gotta get married because this guy killed my whole family. And I'm just like, what?
No, like, and they make it out like that Lily's family was the one benefiting from it. So I was like, what's stopping you from just walking away?
Yeah.
Like just leave.
And they were
say
like,
no.
Yeah. And I think at the end, we're supposed to see like the relationship, like how it does benefit like the Irish mob, like
but
Declan.
I feel like it specifically only benefits them because of Raina.
I know.
Like Lily just would have been like a drop in the bucket. No one really liked her or cared about her.
Yeah,
like,
she was,
as far as mobsters go.
Yeah, she's literally just like a doll, like a puppet. Like she wasn't. Yeah, so like that part just, I felt like it wasn't compelling enough to be like, why are you marrying this child when you know that you don't want to? And like they were like very awkward. He's like, well, are you going to sleep with her? And he's like, no, I'm not. I'd feel like a pedophile. And I'm like, yeah. Like, so what is the plan here, my dude? Like, I don't understand what, like, the point of this is.
Also the point where then she ends up pregnant and is like, and Raina's like, oh, was she going to play it off as his? And I was like, is that, like, meaning that the 18-year-old was then going to have to seduce him?
Yeah.
Like, how?
Or, like,
how
the eight.
How
so
are the
also, yeah, also, because he's like, well, because, like, he's like, obviously I wouldn't sleep with her. It's like, she doesn't know that. She's 18. How does she, like, you're trying to play off that you're, like, this good guy? No one knows that.
Everybody
no
else
one
believes
knows
that you're
yeah,
about to do it.
Everyone believes that you are marrying this 18-year-old to have a wife. Dude, like, my man, like, we don't know what's going on in your head. And that's my issue with Spider, is he's like, I'm a good guy. And then everything he does and says is the exact opposite of what he's thinking.
Yeah, the book wouldn't work as a single point of the book. Like, you have, it's so necessary to have his perspective.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's just it's a self-redemption arc for every chapter. Yeah. He's like, what I said last chapter doesn't count. I'm not, like, yes, I'm marrying the 18-year-old, but I'm not going to sleep with her. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, he's constantly just having to, like, grovel and redeem himself, and we're like, what? Like, you could just say the like you could, and he's like, yeah, I don't know,
he's like, he's gonna break the fourth wall and be like, readers, I'm not a pedophile.
Honestly, I would have been surprised if that like it felt necessary up until the wedding, because like, so this is this, okay, wait, I'm gonna skip ahead, but this is one of the things that I wrote in my notes. And have you seen Bridgerton? That's my first question.
No.
Okay, so this book has a lot of parallels to the second season of Bridgerton. Now, hear me out. And you can't argue with me because you've never seen it. But, so the plot of Bridgerton the second season is obviously spoilers if you haven't watched the second season of Bridgerton. But Anthony, our lovely little playboy, whatever he is, I think he's a Viscount. That's what he is. Anyways, so he's going to marry Kate's younger sister. I can't even remember her name. This is bad. But anyways, because he wants, similar to Spider, a loveless marriage. He just wants, like, the convenience of being married, or, like, he's supposed to marry, I guess, for, like, the sake of being married, you know, because you had to get married. And so he's going to marry this young diamond of the season, who is Kate's younger sister. But then he meets Kate and he falls deeply in love and he's so in love with her, blah, blah, blah. We go on and on. And then, like, the whole season, he's, like, fighting. He's like, I can't, like, you know, I'm so attracted to you, but I can't marry you. Like, I don't want to be in love, but I already love you. And, like, I don't know what to do. You getting it?
I've seen enough TikTok clips of Bridgerton the second season to know exactly the scenes you're talking about.
And then there's, like, the part where she's like, well, I'll leave. After you're married, I'll leave. And guess what happens in Brutal Vows? Rhaenys says the same thing. He's like, you have to leave after we're married because I can't stand. Like, I'm too tempted. And what am I going to do? I'm going to be married to your niece. And then she's like, fine, I'll leave. But you're going to have to explain to her why I'm not there. And then... it's like this, like, deep passion. And then we get all the way to the wedding, and we're all freaking out. The audience in Bridgerton in this book, we're freaking out as the reader. We're like, what's going to happen? Is he going to get married to Lily? Like, we don't know what's going on. And then all of a sudden.
And then the second drama of the wedding happens, where you don't even know who's going to survive at one point.
Yeah, we're not sure, because all of a sudden, Gianni, aptly named, walked in with a weapon of choice and threatens to... take everybody out.
Just his daughter.
Oh, sorry, just his daughter. Lover. Yeah, just his daughter. Well, anyone who stood in front of them, obviously.
True. And sister. He was going to do to himself what was done to Quinn.
Yeah. So anyways, I saw parallels. That's all I'm saying. That's after I, like, read this book, I was, like, thinking about it. I was like, wow, this is, like, because you have, like, the like, forbidden, not forbidden. Because in both plots, there's literally no reason why you can't be together.
No. Like, especially when Lily so hates him. Like, yeah. It's not like she's in love. She's made it very obvious. She has no interest.
Yeah. Like, there's, I mean, yeah. In, like, the first, in Bridgerton, she actually does, like, fall for Anthony, I think, partially. This is probably debated between fans. I don't know. I'm not that into it. But she has, like, some sort of feelings towards him. But, like, early on, there was no reason why he couldn't, other than that he knew he was attracted to her, and he's like, I don't want to marry someone attracted to you. Like, that's your own fault, my dude. So, basically, all I want to point out is, if you like this book, go watch Bridgerton Season 2. And if you watch Bridgerton Season 2 and you liked it, and you want something darker, then go read this book.
If you watch Bridgerton Season 2 and thought, I want more mafia.
Yeah. I want all of this, but I want it now and with violence. Like,
and an Irish accent that comes through even in the writing.
Very strongly. Then I recommend this. This is a read for you. So that's my thoughts. Also, and just to add to that, both Anthony and Spider are equally dumb. Like, they are both equally just, like, clueless men, and they don't understand what they're doing, and they make all of the wrong decisions, and they do all of the wrong things. I think that's the end of my talk there. So I hope no one gets mad that I compared this to Bridgerton Season 2.
No diehard Bridgerton fans are coming to defend.
Honestly, there are fans for everything. So
Dog Year is about to get canceled.
Yeah, by Bridgerton fans on TikTok. This would have been a great clip to film for my first TikTok video for Dog Year, but once again, I didn't do it. Next time. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we get back, we'll actually start talking about some important plot points, I think. So make sure you stick around for that.
Are you looking for a mind-melting, jumping show to go to? Show Me the Body is a noise music, sludge metal, genre-bending band that puts on exhilarating shows, and they're coming to Vancouver's Rickshaw Theater on March 8th. For more information and to get tickets, go to rickshawtheater.com. Do you want to learn more about studying, learning a language, or working abroad? Come on down to Vancouver's Convention Center, East Building, on Thursday, March 2nd to check out the Study and Go Abroad Fair. It's free and a great opportunity to find out how you can boost your resume by studying, learning a language, or working abroad. Come early at 1 p.m. to catch the feature seminar on scholarships. And the main exhibition hall opens at 2 p.m. For more information, go online to www.studyandgoabroad.com.
Looking to get a reliable and affordable used bike? need a repair or service to your current ride?
Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located in room 36 of the UBC Life building. Our hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you buy a bike from us, bring it back when you're done using it, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you.
Yep, you heard us right. We'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs.
For more information about our buyback policy and to stay up to date on any COVID-19 inspired changes, find us online at thebikekitchen.com.
Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roaster's Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or grocery checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek Coffee today.
All right, and we are back, and you are listening to Dog-Eared Radio Book Club on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Randy, and I'm joined by my guest today, Brianna.
Hello. Welcome back if you're still listening.
Yeah, if you're still listening after that eventful half an hour, then I'm happy. I'm happy that you're still listening. So we're going to get more in depth, well, as depth as we can with this book, to Brutal Vows by J.T. Giesinger. I don't know why I can't say it. It's not that hard of a name.
You just pronounce it a different time every time we come back on air. Like, eventually, yeah. I think you have to hit.
Well, maybe I should just do, like, I saw another TikTok about how, like, the funnest thing about, I don't know if it was, like, Tumblr or Reddit, was, like, the bit about how you can't pronounce Benedict Cumberbatch's name correctly, so you just, like, say random words that, like, sound the same. So if I was more clever and, like, not half asleep and hungry, I would probably be trying to do that bit, but no, we're not going to do that. So anyways, let's talk about the characters. So we have, obviously, two main characters. This is a dual POV book. So we have Reina, the Mafia princess. She's Italian, which is told to us several times because she has olive skin.
And she cooks pasta.
And she cooks pasta from scratch. None of this box pasta.
Even though it's, like, in the worst situations where you're like, why do you have time to make homemade pasta right now?
Like, I don't believe you, Reina. Like, I think you're pulling a fast one over your family. Because to make every element of pasta from scratch, obviously, I know people do it. I'm not trying to, like, debate that. But Reina, I don't think she does it.
And she's cooking for, like, 35 people.
Yeah. Like, would she casually just make spaghetti and meatballs for all of these, like, bodyguards that show up? Like, that's, like, yeah. I'm sorry. That's so much pasta.
Get it catered. Like,
yeah. You're rich.
Don't hand make this.
You're constantly telling us how rich you are. Like, you're always bragging about how rich you are. Like, also, I feel like I'm jumping. I warned Brianna that this would just be a disaster episode because I don't know how to talk about things in order with this book. But speaking of the money thing, this is another thing that JT just cracks me up. So, like, we have to know that everyone is rich. Like, we have to know that Spider's rich.
Unbearably so.
Yeah. So we have the $20 million ring. I'm sorry. $20 million. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I was going to Google what's the most expensive wedding ring. Actually, I can do that right now. I have Google.
I also love the fact that it's a red diamond. Like, I was trying to picture it in my brain, and I was like, I just don't, like, all I'm picturing is a ruby. Either that or, like, it brought up the term blood diamond for me, and I was like, oh, this is, like, you guys are actually bad people for contributing to this, like.
Oh, yeah. Well, we already know that, but they're, like, you know, they're mobsters, so what do we care? Okay, so here are the most, 15 most expensive engagement rings in the world. Grace Kelly. Is this the name? Oh, no, that's a person. Like, is that the name of the ring? Okay, so apparently Grace Kelly was the most expensive at $38.8 million.
So the Mafia has to step it up.
Yeah, so maybe, yeah, So maybe 20 million is just change. Pocket change.
I also love that they didn't, like, say that they were going to some ambiguous jewelers. They specifically said that they were going to a Cartier store.
Yeah.
And were like, yes, they just have this beautiful ring for me.
Yeah. Also, yeah.
Like, is it a paid sponsorship? Like, yeah. Why are you getting called out so specifically in this book?
Yeah. That's, I feel like maybe, yeah, maybe JT does have a brand deal with Cartier. Yeah. I wouldn't know the people that shop at Cartier because I have never been in one.
And I don't think I have either, and I don't think the people that are in them are reading Brutal Vows. I think the demographics aren't
there's a disconnect there.
The Venn diagram is just two separate circles.
Yeah. And then, but then the other one is like, okay, so we're supposed to believe, like, that's his pocket change, right? He just casually buys a $20 million ring.
Yeah.
Also... Now, sorry, my brain is going. But also, okay, so we're supposed to believe that he went wedding ring shopping with Reyna, right? And he bought whatever an 18-year-old girl would like, which he said. And then the guy was like, ew. And I was like, yeah, it's gross. Yeah. Anyway, so I think he bought some, like, weird pink thing, right? But yes. No one really sees it. Okay, but then apparently he tells us that he went, because at the wedding that, mm-hmm. like, is surprise, he ends up marrying Reyna, okay? But up until that point, we're all convinced, he's convinced, we think he's marrying Lily.
Yes.
But he pulls out the $20 million red diamond and just casually puts it on her.
He says that he returned the pink one and bought the red one, which doesn't make sense. So were you going
to give
it
to Lily? Like, I don't understand. Like, no. At first, I was like, the first time I read it, I think I just breezed over that, and I thought he just bought both and was like...
I kind of thought that he bought both, too, and then I reread it and got the return thing, and I was like, why would you return it if you just have that much money? And also, like...
Yeah, because if you were going to give it to Lily, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. But also, so were you not planning? Like, I'm so confused. Like, if they hadn't quit the wedding, was he...
It's just fate. That's how you know it's true love.
Yeah, I hate that. I need the what ifs.
Spider didn't redeem himself to us on that plot point.
No, he didn't. He was just, like, the way he just, like, accepts it. He's like, yeah, I'll marry Reyna. Like, what are you doing, dude? And, like zero, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't do anything.
Also, well,
he
pulls it was his friend that recognized him. It was the wrong person walking down the aisle. And now this man who's supposedly in love with Reyna.
Yeah. And then he looks at her chest and is like, oh, yeah, those don't belong to an 18-year-old girl. Yeah.
It's
that fertility goddess body, you know?
I also want to know how long these people were supposedly waiting for the wedding to start.
Yeah.
Because, like, we had to wait for Lily to escape her scary situation.
Mm-hmm.
We had to wait for the dress to be altered because happened.
Lily escapes after, I think. Like, fully escapes.
Yes, but, like, there was still the little beginning part where then she was like, no, I'll do it, I'll get married.
Yeah.
The dress had to be altered. They had a conversation outside before they got married.
Mm-hmm.
And then they skipped all of the actual wedding. So, yeah.
How long do you think you would wait for a wedding to start?
If I care about the person, an hour.
Mm. I would say the whole time because I am there at that point. Depends. I'm there for the entertainment.
Depends how dramatic I know the couple is. If it's just like a sad little like...
He
got cold feet. I'm like, okay. Like, if someone's going to have a mistress bursting in, I'm waiting.
Oh, yeah.
I'm holding onto my seat.
You want to be there for that. Also, this was a fun thing that I didn't understand. How did, like, no one... So, unless she was, like, fully covered up, because Reyna has tattoos. So, like, did no one clue... Like, I'm just trying to picture these two women. Like, they don't look alike.
No.
Like...
And, like, wasn't Lily blonde and Reyna has, like, very dark hair?
Yeah.
And also, like, a veil, I get it that it, like, kind of obscures, like, from a distance you can't make out their exact features. Mm-hmm. But, like, you can definitely see someone's hair color.
Yeah.
Like, did he not question the fact that she'd, like, dyed her hair black in 20 minutes?
Yeah. Maybe he was just, like, in his fantasy of marrying Reyna. So he's just like, and then it, like, came true and he's like, okay, yeah, as long as you'll sleep with me, I'll marry you. Yeah, that's his only stipulation. He's like, we're gonna get spicier, I am marrying you. And I'm just like, what? Yeah, it was a weird conversation. Anyway, so let's go back to what I initially started. So Reyna, the character. So I didn't mind her. She wasn't like the regular, like, helpless heroine that we see, you know. she obviously has her stuff together. I really love the, like, ongoing bit about how, like, everyone was, like, obviously, we know that she killed her husband, right? That's, like, the point. But, like, she, every time, like, someone brings it up, she's like, I didn't kill my husband. Like, it's so funny because, like, it's like,
I would never know how to do that. Yeah, she's like, how could I know how to do that?
Yeah, it just reminds me of, like, when women, like, very smartly, like, play dumb about things to get men to do them. Like, that's her thing. Like, she's like, I'm not naive. But then as soon as someone's like, oh, you killed your husband, she's like, I didn't kill my husband. Like, it's just so, the way it's delivered, it's so funny.
She's ride or die to herself. Like, yeah. She's like, someone's going to get caught. It's not going to be me.
Yeah. Yeah, no one's going to catch me. So
it's just such a widely known thing. Like, her nickname is the Black Widow because she killed her husband. Yeah. And, like, this is what people know her by, not her name, but this nickname that comes from killing her husband. She's like, that was not me. And she gets so offended at the nickname. She's like, I don't know why you would ever come up with that.
Yeah. It's like she's convinced herself that she didn't actually kill her husband.
Oh, I was convinced at one point she didn't kill her husband. She's like, she's going hard for it. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'll give it to you. You didn't kill your husband.
Yeah.
He did have a heart attack. You're right.
Yeah. You're not lying to us at all. No, that was good. I really enjoyed that bit. I thought it was really funny. So, yeah, one thing I don't understand. Okay, so based on the math that I did, very limited math, she was 16 when she got married. So, yes. For content understanding, but also like a content warning. So, she was in this marriage to this mafia guy, was very abusive. And so, they were married for 14 years, I think, and then she killed him. Mm-hmm. Why so long? This was like a plot. It's not like a plot hole. It's kind of just like a plot point that bothered me. And I think it goes back to my one of my issues with like JT that she always go or they always go to the extreme. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like so extreme to make it that long of a marriage. Does that make
Especially
sense?
Especially when she was willing to kill him.
Yeah.
Like I could understand if like something happened that he died and like she kind of caused it or something like that. But like she very intentionally
Oh no, she did it.
Killed him. Yeah. And so I'm like, why would you wait? Like, if you knew you were fine with doing it,
yeah.
I feel like you could have done it earlier.
Yeah.
So, like, 14 years is a very long
It's a
time.
Very long. Like, I get, like, why it would have been, like, a few years because she was so young, mm-hmm. right? She was a child. But, like, I don't, like, I think it's just, like, something about that those plot points with JT, like, they just kind of get on my nerves because I'm like, it's
like
the same with.
The entirety of her 20s she was in it.
It's the same with, like, the plot hole of, like, the it's the same with like Spider's backstory. Like, why is it so dramatic? Like, I could have felt and like empathized with the character for something way less. Like, you did not have to go to that level for me to empathize and be on Spider's side. Like,
it also like comes down to me, like, how much can people recover from and be these healthy functioning characters who like she thinks of it not very like she thinks of it seriously but not in like a plagging sort of way that I'm like, that is a really long period of time to just be like, oh yeah, no, I have never again tattooed on my hand, but I'll just get married now, it's fine.
Yeah, so I feel like that's kind of like, I think that's maybe why like some people have issues with like dark romance, which I get. Like, you really have to forget the real world when you read dark romance, because it is immensely, if you look at it through like a critical lens of the real world, it is incredibly frustrating that these characters just like throw away their grief. Like, they're just like, no, that doesn't bother me. Like, oh yeah, I have trauma, it's fine. Like, because books are so short in the grand scheme of things, like, yeah, you just, she very quickly is like, okay, I'll get married. And you're like, what? Like, that came out of nowhere. You said you were never, ever, ever, ever going to get married again.
And none of you believe in therapy, so.
Yeah. And you obviously, like, at most you could have been in therapy for the last 3 years, but you weren't. You were living with your also abusive, terrible brother
An
who's
alcoholic
awful.
Mother, question mark?
Yeah. Okay, the mother is amazing.
I love the mother, but she is
she is an alcoholic. She is very unhelpful in the life of being a woman in the mafia.
Like, she exists solely for comic relief.
Yeah, which she is great at.
Oh yeah,
because
I loved her.
Honestly, that would be me. Like, I would just be like, no, time for a mimosa, like
in the middle of a home invasion where they're attempting to take out your entire family, and she's like, I'm gonna sit at this kitchen table and drink my drink and don't you dare shoot me.
Yeah, but if you do, at least I'm drinking wine. Like, no, she's pretty iconic. Yeah.
It's every Italian Nona.
Yeah, but definitely not helpful to Reyna's recovery.
And in the background, every time something bad happens, she's just laughing. Like, she's like, my mother is trying to, like, get frisky with some of the people at the hotel and not paying attention to the fact that, like, my 18-year-old niece is getting married off and I'm replacing it. Instead, she's just drunk and giggling in the background. Yeah. Like,
hitting on a 30-year-old guy named Brandon. I don't know. Like, it's so, no, it's pretty funny. But yeah, if you think about it, like, critically, then she's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, she's absolutely, she's an awful mother, an awful grandma, a terrible grandma. Grandmas are supposed to protect their grandkids. Like,
what? Even her, she's like, Reyna was very severely abused for 14 years, but, like, she came out of it a very attractive-looking young woman.
Yeah. And I'm like, she's strong. Great. Yeah. Yeah. So that was, I don't get why it's so long. Okay, so let's go, do you have anything else you want to say about Reyna?
No, I didn't mind her, though.
Yeah.
I usually...
She didn't annoy me.
No, and I find that they walked the line very well of, like, not having her be so tough that she becomes, like, impersonable.
Yeah.
Like, I liked that Schustein still lived in the human realm of, like, what I could put up with from characters, so I was like, it's a pass.
Yeah.
It gets a pass.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Yeah, and I also like that she was, like, in her 30s, right? So we're reading a romance between two people in their 30s.
Yeah, that was one of the notes that I had, too, was that I was like, wow, like, you just touched on it and didn't mention it, and he was happy.
Yeah.
I was good with it.
Yeah, I was glad. Okay, so Spider. I have way more notes on this man than I do. So I'm going to start off with reading my initial review. So this is not, like, my initial review of the whole book, but, like, this is, like, partway through, like, the beginning. This is a note that I had on my Kindle. Okay, so here it is. This is my beef with this novel. Like, he was all set to... Also, please, I sound like a person writing... Like, a 13-year-old writing in their diary when I write notes on Kindle, because I'm just, like, doing, like, stream of consciousness my thoughts. Anyways, okay, so... This is my beef with this novel. Like, he was all set to marry an 18-year-old and the wedding was progressing. Like, he sucks. Ugh. How does he come back from that, forcing a girl into a marriage? So, as you could tell, I did not like this guy at all till after the wedding. Then I was like, okay, we're progressing now. We're getting to the good stuff. We're getting to the actual relationship between you and Reyna, and not you convinced you need to marry a child to, like, avoid your family trauma. Like, so anyways.
Yeah, I got that. I kind of just held out for the fact that I was like, okay, you know what? I heard that this was about an accidental marriage. And so I know that I'm holding out for something. So I was like, okay, just keep thinking that she's 18 and just keep, stay on that track of mind. Because I know it's not going to happen. There's an accidental marriage somewhere in this book.
Yeah. And obviously, if it's accidental, it's not planned. So it can't be Lily. It might have been the mom. We don't know. But that's the point.
Drunk Nodo's ready.
Yeah. She's very ready. So that was. I hated him, despised him at the beginning, but then I went on and I was like, honestly, it's impressive that the author left me at the end of this book being like, I'm happy for them, because like the switch I went, this was like a true enemies to lovers. In the beginning, Spider was my enemy, and by the end, he wasn't my lover, but he's someone else's lover, and I respect that. Like, but yeah, I had to do that switch. That was a big switch. They only had, like, 300 pages to do that? And they did it. So that's impressive.
I mean, I personally am against him because I have a thing against Irish accents. I just don't personally like them. And the fact that it was written out, it made me not able to forget the fact that he had an Irish accent. And so, mark against them for me. No actual literary reason. Just personal beef with the Irish.
That's fair. That's fair. Honestly, I've heard so little Irish people ever speak to me, and I never watch, like, media with Irish. So I've only read Irish accents in books. And so at this point, I don't know what they sound like because they sound like me as if I was to read it, like just like in a Canadian accent. So it sounds really bad.
I think part of the reason I do it is I have to do such a bad Irish accent, even in my brain, that I think it's made me despise it from reading it, that I'm like, this is awful. And I'm like, no, it's just me. It's definitely a me problem. But
at least you acknowledge that. Yeah, no, that's fair. I'll give you, because it was just like sometimes too much. Yeah. Like it felt, because like at some points it was like, oh, there's no accent, and then the next paragraph it would be like every other word is like, I'm Irish,
incomprehensible.
I'm just like, what? Like it was like we should have like flagged a paragraph to read that he says, because, sometimes he just sounds like I don't know what's going on in his brain. That's what he sounds. So. Yeah, I did. Okay, so one thing I did, I think what, like, changed it for me was the scene after they're married and, you know, they're about to get it on in their hotel room and she's, you know, taking off the gown and he sees, you know, what happened during her marriage, and then he just, like, breaks down. He's like, I'm such a terrible person. I'm so sorry for everything I've said to you and I'm such a bad person. And he's just, like, groveling, like, so
he's
much.
Inconsolable.
I was like, yeah, he's like...
My favorite, I have a quote flagged, but I'm pretty sure I remember it. He says, I've never cried in my adult life, but I think I might now. And all I could think was... rereading it back the second time and knowing what had happened to him, I was like, you've never cried in your adult life. Like, you've never cried in your adult life until you've witnessed so much. And not even therapy could bring you to tears about the fact that everybody you care about is gone. But like, this is what's gonna bring you to, like, it's sad, I get it, but like, rereading it back, I'm like, this doesn't hold up. Like,
this is the beauty of like dark romance, like mafia mob, because it's just like the smallest things are, we're supposed to like, those are made the most dramatic. Not to say that like Reyna's history is small, but like him witnessing the evidence of this history, that cannot be the biggest thing. He's in the freaking mob. Like,
the first time I read it, I was like, it's very romantic. Like, it's very sweet. It got me in, like, my little dark romance way. I was like, okay. Like, whatever. We get it. The enemies to lovers.
Yeah.
He's becoming a softie. I appreciate it. But then rereading it back and knowing what had happened, I was like, this just doesn't feel right anymore. Like, you should be crying frequently.
Well, and even when we were supposed to, like, you know, feel convinced towards the end of the book that he had feelings for... his boss's wife's sister, like, and when she was kidnapped, you didn't cry. Like, I'm sorry, man. Like, you have never cried in your adult life, but you're gonna cry now?
I just didn't.
But he doesn't. They end up just doing it.
So he's holding on to that title for something more dramatic.
Yeah, he's fine. So I think that was, like, the changing point where, because I always, men have to grovel. If men don't grovel in romance novels, I don't read them. Like, I don't, when, okay, so people, because they're like, Randy, you're a lesbian. Why do you read heterosexual romances? Because they're entertaining. Because men are so dumb, and I like it when they're dumb, and then they have to, like, own up to their dumbness, and they have to be like, I'm a bad person. And I'm like, yes, you are. And then somehow at the end, the heroine decides, like, okay, fine, I'll take you back. That's the only way. I will never, ever, ever read a book where a man does not have to grovel. Like, even if it's not his fault, he has to grovel.
I love it, too, because he actually did nothing wrong in this scenario. Yeah, it's one of the few dark romances I've read that's very, like, heavily, like, to the point, consent every single moment of the book. And I was like, okay. And then getting there, and he's like, I'm the worst human being on earth. And I was like... You should read some of the stuff I've read. You're not the worst human being on earth, I promise you.
Yeah.
Well, even in the J.T. Gretzinger realm of things, you're
not
the worst.
Not even close. Yeah, because even, like, their back and forth, it was very equal. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, they had, like, a relatively equal playing field other than the fact that, you know, he was going to marry an 18-year-old. But, like, as far as, like, their back and forth, like, they both had comebacks. Like, he never really – because he was, like, he knew what her husband, like, her ex-husband did to her from the very beginning. He somehow figured it out. And so he never actually attacked that part of her. So, like, I agree. It is actually hilarious when you're reading it, because you're like, dude, you did nothing – you didn't do anything. Like, what are you even... Like, are you apologizing on behalf of all men?
Tell me no and I'll stop. Like, that's every second sentence. And I was like, you're okay, really.
Yeah. So that part was actually like, yeah, that part was just like entertaining. And I actually wrote that I did react with a laugh. So I'm not even going to explain it. None of you are in my brain. So, but yeah, so I think that moment just like changed my perspective. And I was like, yeah, okay, you can grow on me now.
I also love the fact that he like leapt across the room when he did this.
Yeah.
Like originally they were like laying on the bed and then she got up to take it off. And then he's like, it's very dramatic where he like slammed across the other side of the room to be like, what have I done? And I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, sometimes I don't think authors understand their use of action words.
No.
Like, sometimes I have reread scenes, like, 10 times trying to figure out, like, physically how it works. And there's just, sometimes it doesn't make sense.
My favorite one is, like, sometimes in a very dramatic scene, they'll be like, he dropped to his knees. And I'm like, how many times have you legitimately, in your life, seen someone in an argument drop to their knees to try to get their girlfriend back?
Never. And that's the problem with the world.
Men are not groveling enough.
You need to be on your knees.
Yeah, so I'm like, there's always those ones where I'm like, you're in like a Walmart, like stop describing the scene where he's like on his knees begging for his girlfriend back.
Yeah, I'm not, yeah, I do appreciate it, but I don't believe it.
This is solely in my brain. It's just happy little thoughts.
I think the only time I've fallen to my knees is like from crying because I was so distraught. Like I've fallen to my knees and being distraught, but I've never begged for like, but I've never had to because
you're not a man, so exactly. You've never had to grovel.
Exactly. You're right. So yeah. Men definitely should not learn a lot of things from dark romances, but they could learn to grovel more.
Take the blame for everything and grovel.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's
and
the
say
key.
You've never cried ever before in your adult life, but you're going to cry now. But also you have to cry. Yeah, and then don't do it. And then just go have spicy times instead. Like, yeah. Yeah, I like the change of mood in this book. It's like you can't. That's the thing. It doesn't drag you. So I read this hockey romance over the break. It's literally one of the best books I've read recently. I knocked my socks off. It was so good. I think it's called The Rest of the Story by Tal Bower. I'm so bad with names. This is because I read all the time and I don't talk. But anyways. It was, like, so romantic. But, like, the way it was written, it, like, I was in it. So I was crying, and then I was laughing. And then I was smiling, and then I was crying, and then I was laughing. In this book, I was doing nothing because I didn't, like, by the time I got so into it that I would, like, start crying, change of mood.
Yeah.
Like, immediate. They're like, oh, you were going to cry? Don't worry. You don't have to anymore because I've now made something else completely opposite to that happen in the novel. So you're not even thinking about what happened, like, 2 pages ago.
No. And they're all like intercut with like some random spicy scenes where you're like, okay, so cry, spicy, happy?
Yeah.
Cry? Okay.
And I think that's why I laugh at the times I'm not supposed to, because what else? It's like hysterical laughter. Like, yeah. What else am I supposed to be doing? I don't know what's going on anymore. That's the problem.
Also, a large part of this book's plot happened in the middle of like their spicy scenes where like a lot of the plot was just them talking to each other in between
spicy times
with one another. Like it's just they're just, and so I was like, okay, like this isn't leaving room for much character development.
No.
Like you've got maybe 2 paragraphs.
Yeah.
And
they're
then
developing something, but it's not character. All right. With that, we're going to take another quick break. And if you're still here after that break, then I think you're the greatest human ever. And I appreciate you.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM,
Nisiam, Nisiaya, and the Sakhuya, Talitin, Homasquim, Mustail.
Are you looking for ways to be a part of the community through low-stakes opportunities like volunteering? What about making friends that are really cool or have some common interests? Well, I'm here to tell you that at CITR, you can come volunteer at Volunteer Wednesdays, happening every other Wednesday from 12 to 3 with a really fun activity each time, like making signs or button making. Not only is it a great break from outside stress, but a great opportunity to be a part of the community. For more information, you can visit CITR's Instagram page at CITR and Discorder.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
All right, and we are back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and this show is Dog-Eared Radio Book Club. I'm your host, Randy, and I'm joined today by my amazing guest, Brianna. And we're talking about the book Brutal Vows by J.T. Geisinger. And we're having a lot of fun, and I hope if anyone is still listening, you're also enjoying this. So before we left off, we were talking about how the mood changes. It flip-flops back and forth a lot in this book. There's not a lot of consistency. The character development, nothing really is happening at all.
No. They don't change. They just learn to put up with each other.
Yeah. And I think even Spider, like, he doesn't change as a character. He just starts actually doing things that make sense to his character, if that makes sense. Like, I feel, because what we were talking about earlier in the episode, like, he does so many things and then his thoughts are different and you're like, why are you doing this? Like, you're not thinking that.
Yeah, especially because he says about himself he's a very cold person.
Yeah.
But then all he does is ruminate about his relationships to different women in his life through, like, all of his chapters. Even at the beginning, like, all you can think about is, like, I'm a very cold person, but 24/7 the only thought in his brain is I can't fall in love.
Yeah.
And like, these are all the sad reasons why.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, but like, I don't believe that you're cold-hearted, because all you do is think about your feelings.
I definitely agree, and I think that's why, like, it's like a,
like, all he does is start vocalizing when he started feeling happy feelings, but didn't feel like that was a particularly huge leap for him. Just kind of fit.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't. Yeah. Again, I'm not reading this book for character development, y'all. Like, I'm not. If I wanted to read books for character development, I don't know what I'd read, but something else. But I was entertained. So we talked about something off script that we can't talk about on the radio, but it just goes into how in all romance novels, people really got to over-explain certain anatomy to us and make it seem like it is so big, but then they don't follow up on the physics behind how that works. And I'll let you do, as a listener, what you want with that statement. Okay, so let's go to romantic parts very quickly. I don't know if there's, like, romantic parts in this book. I know there's, like, obviously things you classify as, like, you know, that's romantic, like when he buys the ring. But again, he didn't buy the ring exclusively for her because he was going to marry Lily. So,
yeah,
can that be romantic? I don't know. But I think what all of us dark romance girlies, and I'm not a girly, but I am a dark romance girly, and I will distinguish that. What we all will say right away, what the most romantic part in this book is when they have their little mob mafia meeting, right? And we have the heads of the families, you know, they're sitting at a table, and then you have the soldiers, as they call them, lined up on the walls, and this guy has the nerve to call Reyna the B word. How dare you? You can't do that. Only Spider can do that. No, I'm just kidding. And so Spider gets his little weapon out and decides that this guy should never walk on the earth again. And only the romance girl, dark romance girlies will get this, but that is probably the most romantic part of the whole book.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. It falls in there.
Yeah.
I would have probably classified when they decide to get married for real as the most romantic part, but...
That's true. That's true. Well, okay, fine. You're a traditionalist. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
No, it definitely was romantic. I just always... I think it's more romantic for me when they're, like, not constantly doing that to people. Versus, like, when all he talks about is how that's what he does, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, when he's like, oh, I'm
I also, like, this is on me. All I can picture ever is, like, them in an abandoned warehouse.
Oh, same. So... Yeah, they're just sitting at this, like, oak table in an abandoned warehouse.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know why. I always picture it, like, it's, like, a dirty, rundown warehouse with, like, gaps in the ceiling and stuff. And I'm like, yes, this is what happens in these places. It's not organized crime. It's just in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very poorly organized.
Yeah. No, it's definitely romantic. And again, I like this. I don't. Okay. I don't like this. Disclaimer. I don't like the scene. No one. This can't damage my career in any way. But I like it too because, like, she doesn't immediately, like, grovel about it because she's also kind of inclined to that. Like, it's not this huge thing yeah. that, like, oh my god, he's willing to do it for me. She's like, yeah, I'd do it for you too. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I respect that. I respect the hustle. Like,
yeah. Well, after all, she is an Italian mafia princess. And she becomes capo at the end of the book. But yeah, what you were saying, like, the scene where they actually get decide to get married for real. I agree. That was pretty romantic. Like, when he's like, you have no reason to stay married. So then he just, like, gives up.
Groveling.
Yeah, and I'm just like, dude, like, what are you doing? Like, yeah. Actually, I have a quote that I want to read from that part that I think is funny. And I think it's very Reyna. Okay, so this is what she says. So there's this part in all romance novels that's called the black moment. I've never heard that term used, but I'm going to just let it slide. Heard of it? No, of course you haven't. Cavemen don't spend much time reading. The black moment is when all seems lost, like the couple can never work out their problems, and it's the end of the road for them. Are you paying attention? You seem to be spending a lot of time staring at my cleavage. I forgot that last lessons was in there, but anyways, so that was, like, the scene before, like, he, like, realizes that, like...
It feels like a Shakespearean aside. Like, yeah. She's not speaking to him. She's speaking to me as the reader.
Yeah, no, that's funny. But then after that, very shortly after that, they decide to get married. But, yeah. Anyways, I thought that was very... It was cute. Again, cute and, like, are used as... What would you use? Like, ambiguous terms? Like...
In the context of what we're talking about, we like these
Again,
things.
Again, these things, the statements we make on this show only exist in the context of the book, okay? Saying that. So even if you take these things out of context, you can't. I'm telling you right now that they only exist in the context of this book. That's it. That's all.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's why the warehouse scenes are... romantic.
Yeah.
But don't do it to me in real life.
No.
I'll need therapy.
Absolutely none of this. None of you people should exist. And if you do exist, you should be in prison. Like, that's... Yeah, I don't... Yeah, a lot of people, like, talk about how, like, these books glamorize, I guess, or, like, romanticize actual... And I'm like, I've never met someone who reads dark romance that wants any of it to exist in the real
like,
world.
It's not, like, normalized.
Yeah.
I am actively aware of the fact that I like that it's not real.
Yeah.
Like, it's a book. Sometimes I like the fact that I turn off my phone
and
it stops existing for a while. I need that.
Yeah. And it also, like... Sorry, this is an aside, but this kind of bugs me because people come after me for reading, like, dark romance and stuff, but no one cares that, like, people watch TV shows about this. Like, The Sopranos was one of the best all-time TV shows ever made, and it's literally about the mob, and it's awful.
Yeah, and, like, I would argue that a lot of other... I don't know how much I can say on air. A lot of other... certain types of media that exist in society do this exact same thing that are very normalized for people to consume on an everyday basis that like mine is fictional book characters that it's happening to, and not like even seeing it depicted by a real life person.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, because like most people I know who read dark romance, like for example, the movie 365 Days, we all hated it. Like none of us, I don't even want this. If this book ever became a movie, I would protest. I would protest.
I don't even want it in the physical book. No, I just want it in my phone.
Like the only way this exists is digitally on my phone. That's it. I never want the book on my shelves. I don't want. That's it. Like, it exists, and I turn it off, and then it's gone. Yeah. Like, and I don't think people understand that enough, that, like, we can understand this is fiction. We want it to stay fiction. We don't even want to, because it doesn't translate to TV, which we know at all. Like, no actor can pull off Spider. I'm sorry. I don't know how good you think you are. You're no Spider. I can think of many women, though, that could be Raina, because let's be honest. Like, But yeah, so that was just an aside that like that always bothers me, because I feel like people sometimes have different standards for different types of media. And like, don't get me wrong, we should definitely hold media to standards 100%. But like, I don't know
that dark romance is where I'm going to start with the societal problems.
I think I have some
media.
More things that I'm going to focus on first.
Especially too, because like, I feel like the dark romance readers too, like, yes, there's a huge community on TikTok, but it doesn't represent like... I find that some people on TikTok are like very, that's what people think all dark romance readers are like. And I'm like, not really.
No.
Like most of us are just kind of like reading it and letting it exist. Yeah. And not like, it's not a 24/7 thing that I'm fantasizing about. Like it's solely when I read the book. This isn't something I'm like thinking about as I'm commuting to school every day.
Yeah. I also think it's funny because people will be like, well, what are your dreams like? And I'm like, honestly, I don't dream that often. No. And when I do, they're way more messed up and they're not about this.
It's like I woke up in a circus and can't get home. Like,
I don't know. It's just like, yeah, it bothers me, I think, sometimes.
Yeah. No, especially when you read enough dark romance to feel like you can have like a little bit of an opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I start to be like, it's okay. I'm a good person still. Can be multiple things.
I have like the whole conversation about like being a feminist, and I'm like, this does not affect my role as a feminist in any way at all.
No.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, I find that's this distinction that outside of talking, I don't even think I talk about it very much outside of being on this show, because I've only talked about dark romances on the show, is that, like, I just don't bring it up because I'm like, I don't want what you're going to project onto me for reading this.
No, it's very much like you have to, like, exist in it to understand. I think it's, like, a lot of, like, fandoms. Not that, like, dark romance would always be a very wide fandom, but, like, you know. It is, it's very, and like, I don't know, it's like you read books about murder all the time. Like, I'm sorry, do you have something you want to tell me? Like, what? Or like when people read, like, you know, people that are obsessed with true crime, that gives me way more icky vibes than when someone's like, I read dark romance. I'm like, chill, I do too. But when someone's like, oh, I'm obsessed with true crime, I'm like, okay.
True crime fans scare me. Like, genuinely scare me.
They're so intense.
And, like, also, again, part of the thing for me is that it's fictionalized. Like, true crime for me, when they're like, yeah, this happened to a real-life person, and, like, this is, like, their family's Facebook profiles, and I'm like, wow, have you ever heard of the word boundaries?
Because
even Spider understands boundaries, so,
he's got them down.
I don't know. I like my fake scenario that isn't real.
Yeah.
Just...
Yeah.
Oh, true crime...
Same.
Well, sorry to any true crime lovers. I'm a true crime hater.
Yeah. I am also, because it's also never ethically done. Like, there's always problems of ethics. Like, there's always family members that are, you know, that they're pestering and bothering. Like, there's always, like, the legacy of this person, like, their private life, like, and the actual facts of the case. Like, the only thing I appreciate about true crime is it basically gives us proof of how incompetent cops are, but we all know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't need to exploit families just to prove cops are incompetent.
And also, like, there's so many scenarios, like, where people are like, oh, like, I figured out the case and I'm going to harass this person who I think did it. And then I'm like, you don't have the authority to do that.
No.
You are not a police officer.
Yeah.
And can't citizens arrest this man you think committed a murder
with
absolutely no proof besides the fact that you watched a podcast, listened to a podcast. Like,
Yeah. Ooh. The only times it's been done well is Only Murders in the Building. the TV show.
I've never seen it.
It's so good. It has Selena Gomez, Steve Martin, and Martin Short in it. And they're like, so they love true crime podcasts, and this murder happens in the building, and so they like start investigating it. But again, that's like a fictionalized version of true crime. It's not real true crime. Like, yeah. So I think that's funny because like a lot of it is them like making fun of true crime fanatics. Like, yeah. So anyways, yeah, that was an aside. Okay, so to wrap up, I don't think I actually have any. Oh, this was the thing. I also, there's a quote from Raina, because like Spider always calls her woman. And so she finally responds. She's like, number one, don't call me woman like it's a pejorative. It's not. And I had to look up what a pejorative is because I don't have a degree in English literature. So basically it just means a word that is like has a connotation of negative connotation. Uh-huh. And I really like that because I feel like that's real. So many men use the term woman as like a negative thing. And just by saying it, they're like, fine, woman. And it's like, what? Like, what are you trying to do here?
Yeah. No, that was, I liked that part too. I had that, I think I had that flagged from earlier too.
Yeah.
Was that I like that she stands up for not just like herself, but mm-hmm. very ambiguously through everybody. Like, even when he was like, I thought you'd never get married, and, like, even at stake of your life, and she was like, well, I didn't get married for my life. Like, I got married because I'm protecting my 18-year-old niece from, yeah. like, dying. Like,
yeah.
don't try to pretend that this is something that, like, I did because I was secretly lusting after you.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Also, I just thought of this, but there aren't, like, any, like, women or female villains in this book. Like, you know how in romance it's like, ugh, the amount of like internalized misogyny. Mm-hmm. We talked about this on a little bit on the last episode where I had Amanda on the show. And yeah, like how like so often women villains are done so poorly because it's just internalized misogyny. There's not actually a lot of that in this book at all because there's like all of the women are shown to be strong characters. Like, obviously, Lily, we don't really know, but, like, she is strong in her own way. Like, you know, she's young, but I think, like, she does still, like, in some ways try to fight for what she loves and what she wants.
She fights about it, like, in the way that I would expect an 18-year-old in this situation yeah. to fight for it, which is, like yeah, you are going to be overdramatic and emotional because you're yeah. 18 and your yeah. life is being wrecked.
Yeah, destroyed.
I give it to you, like.
By your awful father. Oh, my gosh. Her father is a terrible man, and I'm glad that he...
Yeah.
Gets taken out by the mob or the mafia. I can't keep them straight. Like, anyways, yeah, so I really appreciated that about the book, that it wasn't like a, because also like in mafia, in mob, like it's so common to just like throw in like this, like, yeah. you know, negative woman character, but there aren't really, because even when we meet all of like the other, like in the metaverse, in the JT metaverse, even when we met them, like they're all like, they all seem like strong women, right? Like mm-hmm. they're all, you know,
and they're all very respected by the men in the books, which I appreciate.
Yeah,
like even where he's like, nope, like Declan is so in love with his wife he would marry her every single day if he yeah. had the opportunity to, and also, I'm like, you know what,
yeah,
I support that.
Also the food thing where she's like on this like health kick and yeah. he's like eating it, but he's like, and then Spider's like, Raina makes pasta from scratch, and Declan is like, pasta?
But he still continues to eat yeah. his food, and I'm like, you know what, I appreciate the little romance parts
yeah.
where I'm like, you know what, this is actually a little bit more what I hope
yeah.
to see in these relationships.
Yeah. Also, because I feel like Raina doesn't change at all when she's married. Like,
no.
she's, and if anything, because she gains more power when she yeah. becomes Kupaka. I don't know.
No, and that was another one of my points, too, is that I like that the enemies to lovers didn't disappear.
Yeah.
Like, I like that the banter kept up through yeah. the entire thing, because my biggest pet peeve is when they're like, we got forced to get married, and then all of a sudden, or like they say I love you, and then they're like, we never bickered ever again, even though our entire relationship was founded on us
yeah.
hating each other. So I'm like, no, I like that you guys kept up a little bit of this, like, I still hate you a little bit
yeah.
in my soul, like,
yeah,
I love you, but
yeah, there's a little part of me that just always wants to punch you.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah. you know what? This is realistic. This is, and like, because I found that the banter was well written in this book. Sorry, swamp witch is my favorite term. And I love how often it's used in this book, because I'm like, Even at one point, he was like, I broke the spell and I made the Swamp Witch fall asleep in the real you came out for a minute. And I was like, okay, you know what? This is a loving, endearing term that, like, I get it. I get it. I love that both of you are just so mean to each other.
Yeah. No, that's... I agree. Yeah.
There's a certain... I even like the whole, like, throughout the whole thing where she's like, you are named after an insect. They call you spider.
Yes. You're an insect. That's really? That's so funny.
Are you kidding me?
And then he's like, no,
I'm an arachnid. And she's like, that's not any better. It's awful.
Yeah. Yeah, like, she's a black widow, but, like, let's be honest.
She didn't kill her husband, so yeah. Not really.
Well, technically, so they're both spiders, though.
Yeah.
Wow, like I just got that.
JT Gretzinger, like, man,
the amount of Easter eggs in this book, I tell you, like, JT keeps you on your feet and you never know what's going on.
I have to give them that because from Brutal Vows and Pen Pal, like, both of them had those fun little Easter eggs the entire way through that I, like, reading it back a second time, I was like, you know what? I appreciate the fact that I can reread this and pick up on a new thing or two.
Yeah, well, I feel like JT is clever to, like, put those, like, yeah, like, literally little Easter eggs. Like, you know, the fact that their names line up, like, different points about their character or, like, you know, different things that they do. And, like, the carrying forward of, like, the I didn't kill my husband and, like, the Swamp Witch. Like, you know, like, I feel like most authors, like, I was reading this book also. That's all I did during my reading break. Also, I read, like, 8 books. I was, yeah. And I read this book and it started out like so well in the first quarter, but then it just slowly got worse because they didn't carry forward any like character points. Yeah. So to me, like, yeah, like the part of Raina's character is that I didn't kill my husband. Like it's like, that's part of her character. That's who she is. Like, she's obviously such like, you know, I can't think of a word now that's not a swear word, but, like, she's amazing, you know? Like, she's, like, she stands up for herself. She stands up for her niece all of the time, right? And she fights. Like, she's not helpless. And so, like, part of that, so I feel like, you know, it carries on those character traits and they don't just, like, end or disappear. But, like, both of these characters have vulnerability. Like, Spider is, like, super vulnerable when he thinks she's gonna leave. And also when they go to dinner at Declan's for the first time and Raina, I can't remember Declan's wife's name, but
Sloane.
Yeah. When Sloane is like telling Raina about her sister and how Spider used to have feelings for her. And so then Raina's now convinced because obviously she is, it's a romance novel. So now Raina's convinced that Spider is still in love with Sloane's sister. And so he got married to like avoid that love. And so then he like starts ignoring and like, Spider's freaking out in the car. He's like, why aren't you talking to me? Like, you're shutting down. Like, you know. And so, like, I think it's great that, like, both of the characters show vulnerability.
Yeah. Also, that, like, I like that Raina has her respective role within her mob. Like, mafia. Yeah. Mafia. Yeah. But, like, she is very much the head of her mafia. And he's in his mob. And, like, he's not storming into her mafia to stand up for her. Like,
yeah.
She very much is like, no, this is my thing. And like, okay, honey, I'm going off to work for the day. You don't interfere with my job. I don't interfere with yours. Yeah. Like, I run my mafia. You do your thing. Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? Respectable. You run your own mafia. Like, strong female.
She's truly a woman that has it all.
Strong woman in business. Like,
she is gaslight, gatekeeping, and girl bossing to the maximum.
Like, she's just running it on her own too, and I'm like, okay,
yeah,
you know what, boss.
Yeah, no, I agree. I respect it. So
I'm like championing this like feminist novel. Yeah. Now like,
yeah, this is a feminist novel. So all you haters out there, you can be a feminist and read this book because it's a feminist novel.
The men grovel, so
obviously, yeah. Okay, well, that I think brings us to the end of this disaster review. Entertaining, chaotic, that's a better word. It's not a disaster. Obviously, nothing I ever do is a disaster. But this episode was very chaotic. And so I appreciate anyone who's still listening. Yeah, and thanks for coming on the show for the third time.
Thank you for having me for the third time.
I think, is this the third? This is definitely the third time, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And all of them have been, like, dark romance.
It's fun. Yeah. Well, so far, only two people in my life that I know of read dark romance. So the person that I had, last episode I had Amanda from Cracking Dot Spines on Instagram, which was very exciting. But we actually talked about not a dark romance, but then I convinced her to read the Necessary Evil series and she actually started it. And I have never been, like, so happy that someone listened to my recommendation. So I don't know if you have, but, like, hint, hint, nudge, nudge. You could start it today. Just saying. So anyway, like, I don't encounter that many people that often that read dark romance. Like, none of my friends and stuff. Yeah. I don't think my one friend has ever even read, like, a romance novel. So we're a long way from getting to the dark romance. You got to make that journey gradually. Yeah.
Just me when people are like, what's on your TBR? And I'm like, Randy's Necessary Evils. They're like, what's that about? And I'm like, what is that about? What is it that about?
Yeah, that's a better question. What isn't it about? Just go in prepared. You got to be open-minded. And you will come away so glad that you became friends with me. Yeah, that's like literally as soon as someone is like, I read dark romance, that's my immediate, have you read the Necessary Evil series? Like, I should just get it tattooed by this point. Like, I'm just like, I am like a walking billboard for the Necessary Evil series.
It's Kindle Unlimited, and then underneath that is, yeah, Unnecessary Evil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Necessary Evils, not unnecessary.
Yeah.
They're very necessary.
Yeah, they're very necessary. Also, it's so exciting because the author is coming up with a spin-off series. So I will never stop talking about it. That's all I'm going to say. But anyways, I think this was also, this is the last episode of the season because, as I said, I cannot find a good accidental marriage book. So we're switching it up. We're doing a short season. That's okay. And we're going to switch it up. We're going to go into a different topic. My theme for next season is very open because I went way too
narrow
for this season. So I'm doing the opposite. And we're doing historical legacies.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's, like, super broad. I did have, like, some books in mind. I'm not going to say them, though, because I don't know if they're going to happen. But I really wanted to get more into, like, literature. Mm-hmm. Literary fiction. That's what I was thinking for. And, like, do books that are focused on character growth and character development. And also have, like, some plot points and, like, build on, like, generational, like, characterization, I guess, like, generational family, and different, like, the ways in which, like, obviously things in history impact our world today. So it'll be a bit probably more critical than this season, as always. You know, we gotta switch it up, okay? We did science fiction, we did romance. Like, you know, I need to keep myself on my toes. I can't be reading serious books all the time, okay? What do you think I'm getting a degree for?
Yeah. I got a degree in English and I'm still reading these dark romance novels all the time.
Well, that's why, though, because our degrees make us read serious things. So why would I read serious things in my off time?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, this is how I relax my brain until the next paper I have to read.
Like, again, it's just brain turn off. Like, you think I'm critically thinking, but you think I think enough when I'm reading dark romance to let it impact me in any way? Like,
if I thought too much, I wouldn't be reading it.
Exactly.
Because I am not, you know.
Like, even sometimes when I focus a little bit too much on the way that the dialogue's written, nope. I'm like, no.
Nope.
I need to be 18% more tired, yeah, to be reading this right now.
Yeah, I need to close one eye. Sometimes I just close one eye and just read it with one eye. Like, that's what you gotta start doing. But anyways, stay tuned. So check out my Instagram at Dog Eared Radio Book Club. I'll post, hopefully within the week, I'll post a schedule for next season. And that will take us to springtime. Yay! We love spring. But in the meantime, thank you all for listening. I appreciate you all so much. And yeah, I think I'm gonna sign off there and leave you to the rest of your Tuesday. It is Tuesday evening. All right. Thank you very much.